I want to read the text again, Luke chapter 10, beginning at verse 38. Now it came to pass, as they went, that they entered into a certain village, and a certain woman named Martha received him, that is Jesus, into her house. And she had a sister called Mary, which also sat at Jesus' feet and heard his word. But Martha was cumbered about much serving, and came to him and said, Lord, dost thou not care that my sister hath left me to serve alone? Bid her, therefore, that she help me. And Jesus answered and said unto her, Martha, Martha, thou art careful and troubled about many things, but one thing is needful, and Mary hath chosen that good part which shall not be taken from her. I want to talk to you this morning about choices that build strong relationships. Usually when this passage is preached, it's preached regarding our need to sit before the Lord and to learn from Him. And we'll certainly take time to look at that application today. But I think there are some broader principles that we can draw when it comes to all of our relationships that would be taught to us from this passage. We'll see in these verses that strong relationships are built on good choices. How many of you ever made a choice before that hurt a relationship that you have? Oh, maybe it was the fact that you chose to go golfing and forgot that it was your wife's birthday. That would be a bad choice. That's not going to help build a strong relationship. I remember a few years ago, my dad and my mother will be at home watching this online at some time today. And if I get any detail of the story incorrect, he will remind me. And so I'm counting on that. But I remember one day, my dad was working in Tuscaloosa. We were living in Jefferson County, Alabama. So he was driving about 60 miles one way to work every day. And he would generally leave before the sun came up and come back after the sun came down. He did that for a couple of years before he got a job closer to our home. And I remember on one Saturday, I think there were car troubles or something, and he needed to work on the cars. And he had to work a half day at work on that Saturday, and he came running home and he ran inside very quickly, and I'm outside mowing the lawn, and then he ran back and he jumped in the car to pull out, probably to go get an auto part or something like that. And I thought to myself, mother didn't feel well either. She was sick at the time, but it happened to be my mother's birthday. And I remember saying to my dad, hey dad, and he stopped in the parking lot and I turned off the driveway, I turned off the lawnmower. I said, dad, do you remember it's mom's birthday, right? I'll never forget the look on his face. This look of, oh no, I've blown it. And you've been there before in relationships, haven't you? Where you thought you did something and you just blew. Well, that wasn't a choice that dad made. It was just something that he forgot in the busyness of life and trying to care for his family, and he tried to make it right. I think that was the first year that he gave my mother for her birthday a bottle of NyQuil. Because she was not feeling well, and that kind of became a custom for a few years there that she got NyQuil on her birthday. I'm sure that wasn't the only thing he gave her, but I think that was used that year as well. But we've made choices before that have hurt our relationships, but good choices build strong relationships, and I want us to learn some things about those choices today. First of all, I want us to see that we need to be careful that we don't let activity keep us from building relationships. A relationship is not two people who are active together. You can be involved in activity together that doesn't necessarily build a relationship. You can be busy together and it doesn't necessarily build a relationship. Now, there are some activities that do build relationships, but there are some activities that can actually make it more difficult to build relationships. And there, by the way, there are, I'm not talking about activities this morning that are right and wrong. Okay? It's hard for me to build a relationship with someone when I'm not with them. I can't be with you all the time, so I can't be building my relationship with you all the time. It's hard when my wife is teaching an English class, she's not with me, so we're not really building our relationship at that time because she's teaching an English class. But yet teaching English is very, very important. In fact, the more I listen to people talk and see people write, I think it's more and more important. It's a very important thing to have an English teacher. So our activity sometimes takes us apart. That's not wrong necessarily, but we need to consider whether or not when we have a choice about activity we can be involved with, are those choices helping build our relationships? Don't let activity keep you from building relationships. Yesterday, by the way, in part because I want to build relationships, I went to see a baseball game. I haven't done this in forever, a softball game. And there was a child in our school who brought a note to me this week. A little 7-year-old girl brought me a note. and said, I was the best pastor she ever had. And then she also said, you're the only pastor I've ever had. And then she said, would you come see me play my game? It's my third game and I might win. And I thought, you know what? I want to go see her play. I had no idea it would take 2 hours. I didn't know. I hadn't been to ball games. That's a large chunk of a Saturday for a preacher. But I decided, I want to do that. And I went, and I have no regret. I enjoyed it. I enjoyed talking with her family. I enjoyed sitting with my wife for 2 hours. That was a lot of fun. And being together, that was a good thing. But, you know, I remember when I was talking to Dad, he mentioned that in the next 2.5 months, they have 30 games. Now, I'm not saying this is wrong. Please don't take this as a criticism. It's not meant like that at all. Because I love this family, and I think that what they're doing is spending time with their child, and that's wonderful. They're building relationship with their child. But I thought, you know, I'm not sure that I would make that choice, especially if I was involved in multiple community sports. And some families are. You know, they just go from one sport to another. That's what they live for. I'm not saying it's wrong. It can be a way to spend time together, but we need to evaluate whether the activity that we're involved with is actually effective in building relationships, or if it's just filling our days with time and our days with things that really crowd out the opportunities for relationships. As I say, I enjoyed building a relationship with my wife yesterday for 2 hours as we stood together and talked together at the ball game. But I don't know that I'd want to do that 30 times. I'd be glad to be with my wife, mind you. But I don't know that I'd want to sit and watch my kids play ball and be separated from them like that for, you know, 4 or 5 days, 4 or 5 times in a week over a period of months and months and months. Again, that's not a criticism of families that are involved in sports. They have their place. But we need to ask ourselves the question, is the activity that we're involved in? And we have so many things we could be involved in, right? We got karate and piano lessons and ball practice and gymnastics and all these different things that someone could be involved with. But some of those activities, if we're not careful, they will begin to rob us of the relationship that we really desire with the ones that we love. Now, Mary was someone in this passage who was very, excuse me, not Mary, Martha was someone who was very, very active. You can see her scurrying about. The Bible says she was cumbered about with much service. It was on her mind. And what a wonderful thing to be a servant. You know, when you read about Moses in the Bible calls Moses, Moses, the great leader of the children of God. No, Moses, the servant of God. Jesus said to his disciples when the mother of Zebedee's children came and said, Lord, can one of my sons sit on your right hand in your kingdom and the other one sit on your left hand? In other words, have these positions, these secondary positions of authority and rulership. And Jesus said, woman, you don't know what you're asking. Are they able to be baptized with the baptism that I'll be baptized with? He wasn't talking about water baptism there. He was talking about the suffering that he would go to before he came to his kingdom. And then he said, you know, in the kingdom of God, he said, the greatest shall be the least, and the least shall be the greatest. And some people say, well, you know what Jesus was teaching was that if we serve, if we really serve people, that serving leads to greatness. And if we serve, then one day we can be great. But that is not at all what that passage teaches in Matthew 20. The Bible is not teaching that service leads to greatness. The Bible is teaching us a truth about God's economy, that serving is greatness. Being a servant is a great calling. And moms, may I say this to you? Ladies in general, may I say this to you? As you serve your families, as you care for your family, you are serving your family and you are serving God by serving your family. And it is a high calling. How many of you understand today that the economy, I'm not talking about finances, but the atmosphere in our country today and in our world today that views women as needing to be lifted up out of some kind of subservient role and put on a career path so that they can be like men. How many understand that that is undercutting and underserving women? To take them out of the glorified and sacred role that God has given to them and tell them that they need to be just like men, it's actually mistreating women. And we see this nowadays, don't we? As the feminist movement has carried on, now we see things happening that clearly are hurting women. When we even tell men that they need to be like women and women that they need to be like men. You've seen recently, haven't you? The whole transgender movement, how it's moved toward, allowing biological males to claim to be women and to take hormones or whatever to try to be women and then compete in athletic competitions with women. And some pretty famous athletes in our country, even one who considers himself a woman today, has said that that is unfair to women. You see, when you move away from God's design, you always end up hurting yourself and hurting others. I'm not trying to be unloving toward people who suffer from, I believe, a very twisted way of thinking about their identity and how God has created them. I'm not trying to be unkind to those people, but I'm telling you, God's design, His paradigm, His pattern is where happiness and joy and fulfillment is found. And ladies, if you have a job outside of the home, well, God bless you, because I know your work doesn't disappear at home just because you work outside the home. I'm not being hard on you. I'm not saying this morning that it's evil for you to work outside of the home. I'm saying you need extra strength for all the responsibility that you have working outside of the home. We have a number of people who are employed here in our ministry who are wives and moms who obviously work outside of the home, and it requires a lot of time. And I'm very thankful that they're willing not only to share their ministry with their family, but to share with us as well. But may I say this to you, what God has given to you in your home and in your role as a wife and a mother, nothing excels it. God has created a place for you to build relationships with your family, to serve your family. But be careful that the activity of that service, that constant activity, doesn't become something that actually robs you of the relationships that you need. Someone has said, John Maxwell was the first I heard to say it. I don't know if it's original with him. But he said, people are more important than projects. He has a lot of pithy statements that are really good. He also says, nobody cares how much you know until they know how much you care. But this one this morning, think about it. People are more important than projects. Now, how many of you are, you're built, your personality is such that you, you're project-oriented? Like, you have a list, you put it on the list, you get excited when you get to check that off your list, that project is, how many of you say, I'm a project-oriented person, I think some of you aren't being honest this morning, I am a project-oriented person, and I love to get projects done. I believe also that the Lord has grown me in being a person who's oriented more around relationships with the Lord and with the people, with people as well, but naturally, just the way I was born or brought up or just bent, I like to have projects and have lists and accomplish projects and things like that. But I need to remember people are more important than projects. There may be some days, ladies, when you can't go to bed and have the dishes washed. They may sit in the sink overnight. And you say, preacher, if I do that, I will stare at the ceiling and I will not be able to sleep. I don't even know what to say to that. I understand, because I live with someone who's just like that. But there may be days where it's more important for you to sit down and talk to a child, or to read a book with a child, or to sit down and just have some time with your husband and realize the house is a mess. But I have a husband and he has me, and I have a relationship. And look, keeping a clean house can be important to the relationship. I get that. Maybe you have a husband who is project-oriented, and he can't stand sitting down and just talking to you while the dishes are dirty. And I would say to you men, if that's the case, then get up and wash the dishes so your wife can sit down and have some time with you. There are more than one ways to skin this cat, if you will. But don't become so activity-oriented, so project-oriented, that you fail to build the relationships with people in your life who God wants you to build relationships with. Martha was one who was project-oriented. She was one who had a lot of activity. She was cumbered about with much service, but there was a relationship that she was neglecting. And Jesus pointed that out to her near the end of our text. So we said this morning, number one, don't let activity keep you from building relationships. I know you're in shock this morning because I'm not alliterating my sermon, but hold on, okay? Number two, don't let the temporal rob you of eternal. Don't let the temporal rob you of the eternal. If you're unfamiliar with the word temporal, use the word temporary. Don't let things that just last for a little while or for this life rob you of those things that last forever. And so many of our relationships are relationships that will last forever. Now, I understand that the way we relate to one another in heaven may be different. The Bible says that we're not married, nor do we are given in marriage when we're in heaven. But you know, I am building friendships and relationships with my wife and my daughters and my church family, that for those who know Christ as Savior, we will spend eternity together forever in heaven serving and praising the Lord. And those relationships will last forever. They're worth giving time to because they are eternal. Some of the things that I spend my time on and that I get my thrills from, like organizational projects, all right, they're not going to last forever. In fact, how many of you have noticed that in this world that we live, under the second law of thermodynamics, that organizational projects don't stay organized? Probably, look, I could say this morning, can I get a witness? And every mom in this room would raise her hand, right? Because you've done it. You've cleaned the house up before, got it in perfect order. And all that happens is your husband gets home from work. And now it's not in order anymore. And everything that you worked on seems to have disappeared. Okay, so then why stress out? I'm not teaching against clean houses. I love them. And I would get upset if I didn't have one. But why do we get stressed out over things that are only going to last for a short time? Now, I think you can carry this a little too far. I had a Sunday school teacher when I was a kid, a very good lady and a friend of my mother's, and she's in heaven now, but she would tell her two boys, don't bother making your bed in the morning, you're just going to get back in it in the evening. And when my best friend told me that his mom said that, I said, why couldn't I have been born in your family? Because that is not all. I remember my dad having been in the Air Force trying to teach me. My dad showed me how to make a bed and how to pull those sheets so tight you could bounce a quarter on them. He showed me how to do that. And my mother expected that I did it. And maybe they helped make me into that project-oriented person I am, because my friends didn't like to come over to my house when I was a little kid. They'd come over to my house, you know, and the first thing they do when walk in the bedroom is want to sit down in the bed, and I would be like, no, don't sit on my bed. Don't mess up the covers. Because I knew my parents expected me to keep my bed made up. Y'all think I came from a very organized and strict home, don't you? Well, you're right. Okay, anyway, and I'm thankful for it all. But what I'm talking about this morning is that some of those things that plague our minds and agitate us and upset us and we give our time so much to, many of them are temporary things. It doesn't mean that they're totally unimportant. It doesn't mean that they should be ignored forever, but they should not be ignored to the extent that we fail to give attention to things that do last forever. The souls of men. The gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, the Word of God. Two things that we have in this world, we'll have in the next world. The Word of God, it abides forever, and the souls of men. And in our personal lives, in our home lives, we need to give attention to things that last forever. So much that we get stressed out over will not last forever. Jesus said in verse 42, one thing is needful for you, Martha, and Mary hath chosen that good part, which shall not be taken away from her. He said, Mary has chosen something that has eternal consequence. Your kitchen's going to be dirty again tomorrow. At the end of the day, you're going to be washing dishes left over from this meal that you've spent so much time making. It's temporary. But Mary has a relationship with me that is eternal. And to that, she is giving her attention. Wise choices, strong choices, good choices build strong relationships. Don't let your activity keep you from building relationships. Don't let the temporal things in life rob you of the eternal things. And number three, don't let the worldly cares drown out the voices of others. Have you ever before, men and women, fathers and mothers, have you ever before been doing something and you had your mind on something and your children came to you and they asked you questions and you found yourself saying, uh-huh, yeah, uh-huh, yeah. And then all of a sudden you get a hug around the neck and a kiss on the cheek and they walk around and say, thanks, Dad. And you think, what did I just say I'd do? What did I just, okay, what just, and you hadn't been paying attention to any of it because you had your mind absorbed in something else. Last night I was sitting at the table and I was reading an email that I needed to respond to. This is after we generally eat. And then we have conversation for a while, and then we'll get into our devotional time. And I usually read, at the family time, I usually read from my app, my Bible app on my phone when we're having devotions. And so I had my phone there. Maybe that was the mistake, but I had my phone there. And my wife and my girls are talking. And generally speaking, Caroline and Kimberl at home are yada, 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 yada. And I have to kind of wait for an opportunity to slip into the conversation. And so they had yada, yada, yada for a while. And at that time, they were really talking to their mom about something that I already knew about. And so I kind of faded from the conversation, still sitting at the table, and I'm reading my email. And the next thing I know, my wife says, are you paying attention to me? Did you hear that? She wasn't unkind. She just asked the question. And I realized, Oh, I'm back in the conversation. No, I didn't hear that. I'm sorry. Please carry on. You know, I had to lay it down. Why? Because my mind was absorbed in something else. I think that happens to all of us. But when it comes to building strong relationships, we need to make sure that everything else that's going on in the world and in our world doesn't keep us from hearing the voices that really matter to us. Moms and wives, it should matter when your husband speaks. Even if you think you've heard that before. Even if you think you know what he's about to say. And doesn't that get harder the longer you've been married? Because it does seem like you can kind of start to read each other. But you know, even when you think you know what the other person is thinking, you better listen. Because you're going to be wrong some of the time. You have to make that choice to listen to those voices that are important. Parents, it's important that we listen to our children. Oh, but may I say this? And this, of course, is the clearest implication from this passage. There is a voice that is speaking to us every day through the Scriptures that we must hear. Peter and James and John went on the Mount of Transfiguration with the Lord Jesus. And they saw the garments of the Lord Jesus glisten, and they saw Him. In some sense, they saw the glory that He had with the Father before the world was created. And they were in awe of what they were seeing. And a Moses and Elijah showed up. And Peter was just... he was flabbergasted. Elijah having been taken up in a whirlwind in a fiery chariot. Moses buried by God on Mount Pisgah. And now they stood hundreds of years later before. And he knew he was seeing Moses and Elijah. And Peter just couldn't believe what he was seeing. It was so glorious. And Peter did what Peter always did. He talked. He opened his mouth and he said, "Lord, I've got a great idea. Let me tell you about it. We need to get involved in a project. We need to build a little shrine here. We need to build a temple. We need to build something great. We'll build one for you, Lord, because you're our Lord. And we'll build one for Elijah who's come and met with us today. And let's build one for Moses who's come and met with us today." And a cloud overshadowed them all. And a voice from the Heavenly Father spoke out of the cloud and said, "This is my beloved Son. Hear ye Him." And we can almost hear in the echo the Lord saying, "Peter, shut your mouth. My Son is here, and there's a voice you need to hear, and you need to listen to Him." Oh, we need to shut our mouths and listen to the Lord. We need to shut out the other noises of life and listen to the Lord. And if we're not careful, all of the worldly concerns... when I say worldly, I'm not talking about wicked. Not everything in the world is wicked. We are in the world. And well, okay, so that didn't make my case. But anyway, we are in the world, and our family members are in the world, and lots of things are in the world, responsibilities that God wants us to have. But these cares that come in the life of a dweller in this world, these things... we must allow to keep us from hearing the voice of God. Moms, you need time with God to help your family. You need time with God to be the wife that you ought to be. You can't just keep pushing on and saying, "I'm going to try harder and I'm going to be faithful and I'm going to push more and I'm going to stay up more hours and I'm going to get it done and I'm going to be a good wife and I'm going to be a good mom and I'm going to do what I ought to do and I'm going to be remembered well for being a diligent worker," and neglect your time with the Lord. You got to hear the voice of God. And it'll be okay if your children have to eat Lunchables because you don't have a chance to pack a lunch, as long as you get your time with God. It'll be okay if somebody has to wear something that wasn't washed. It's not best, mind you. But it's okay. It's okay if the back of your husband's shirt is not ironed when he's going to wear a jacket. Okay? It's okay. You got to have time with the Lord. Make time for Him. I don't believe there's anything in this story to tell us that Mary was neglectful of her responsibilities. I don't believe there's anything in this story that tells us that Mary was lazy and that she was overly dependent upon Martha. Mary was simply aware that there was a voice in her home that was speaking to her heart, and she said, "Above anything else, I've got to hear that voice." And that's what we all need as the children of God, a desire to hear His voice and not let it be drowned out by the cares that are around us. Strong relationships are built on good choices. Don't let activity keep you from building those relationships. Don't let temporal things rob you of the eternal things. And don't let worldly cares drown out the voices of others. But let's conclude this morning with this thought. Don't let time spent with or for others replace time spent with the Savior. It shouldn't be a difficult thing for you to identify the most important relationship that you have as a child of God. You shouldn't feel bad if you say that there's a relationship that's more important to you than your relationship with your children or your relationship with your spouse. Preeminently, the most important relationship to a Christian is the relationship that provides for us our very life. It's our relationship with Jesus. Jesus said in John 15, "I am the vine, ye are the branches, and we must abide in him." I've given the illustration before of my green bean vines, my rattlesnake green beans that I still plan to plant this year. And those rattlesnake green beans, the vines are kind of sticky and they grow every which direction. And there have been times before, after those vines have wrapped around some of the trellis that I create for them to grow on, they've grabbed onto a tomato trellis next to it, or they've grabbed onto another plant, and I go to try to separate them. And I want to tell you, with that sticky nature of those vines, it's difficult to do that. It's very hard to get them to turn loose. So it is in our lives that the branches, we are the branches of our lives, sometimes attach to things that we don't belong to. We grab onto things that aren't going to help us grow, that aren't part of what the Lord has for us, and we need to be separated from them. But if instead we are separated from the vine that we're attached to as a branch, if we're separated, what happens to a vine branch when it's separated from the vine trunk? It dies. So we can say, well, you don't understand. My children need me. I don't have time enough to spend time with the Lord. You don't understand the responsibilities that I have in our home and the work that I have outside of our home. All of these things are important to the livelihood of my family. I know God's going to be honored if I take care of my family. I've got to do these things. I've got to stay busy. I can't help this. God understands that I don't have time to spend with him. But you are actually doing that which severs you from your life source. And if you are cut off from that life source, which is Jesus, then you'll be no good to meet the needs of others who are around you. No relationship is more important than your relationship with the Savior. You can't help others until you meet with him. So picture here the story that we've looked at this morning and read twice in Scripture already. Jesus comes to visit this home in Bethany. And there are two sisters here, Mary and Martha. We learn elsewhere that they have a brother named Lazarus, whom Jesus would ultimately raise from the dead. Some have asked the question if this Mary might also be Mary Magdalene. Most Bible commentators do not believe that that is the case, and there doesn't seem to be any clear evidence in Scripture that they would be the same person, and there may be actually some evidence that would contradict that. For instance, Magdalene, most people believe that that indicates that she came from a place called Magdala, which was nowhere near Bethany. It would be very interesting indeed, though, considering how much Jesus helped Mary Magdalene in the passages that we read about with Mary Magdalene. It would be interesting if they were the same person, but I don't know that they were the same person. That having been said, there isn't a lot that's told to us about Mary and Martha and about Lazarus, but we do know that there seemed to be a friendship there that caused Jesus to visit that house more than once. And on this occasion, he passes near Bethany, he comes to Bethany, and he goes to the house of Mary, Martha, and Lazarus, Mary and Martha only mentioned here. And as he goes into the house, understand he would have his disciples there too, and Martha sees the opportunity to serve. How often do moms see the opportunity to serve? How many of you ever been to grandma's house before and sat before a big spread of food? And you stuffed yourself, and grandma never seemed happier than when you were sitting at the table and she'd just been fed. My wife wrote a little note to my grandmother, my children's great-grandmother back home, and my wife remembered how that now that my grandmother is not able to prepare food in the kitchen, she still likes to give instruction. And so at Christmas time, she was telling her daughter, my Aunt Reba, how she needed to make sure she went and made all the candies. We called them Merry Christmases, the little peanut butter cups. She would make them homemade. I don't know why, but one of my cousins, when he was young and he saw those, he said, "Oh, you're making Merry Christmases." Because after all, food is what makes Christmas merry in the mind of a child, or a boy, I should say. And so we started calling them Merry Christmases. But grandmother wanted to make sure that we had those Merry Christmases. Even if she couldn't make them, she wanted to make sure we had those things. And why? Because Because so often, grandma and mom, they're servants, they want to serve. Martha was one who wanted to serve. And she went about, but the Bible says that Jesus noticed that she was cumbered about with much service. Now, let me tell you, when you do something that in your mind is a good thing, but in reality, it's not God's design and it's not God's best, you know what'll happen? It'll cause problems in your relationships. Can you see here how there was a problem brewing in the relationship of Mary and Martha? Martha was a little, can we say it this way? She was a little irritated that Mary would be in there enjoying company while she was doing all the work. And so she spoke to Jesus about it. But Jesus' response had to have surprised Martha. Martha, you are cumbered about with much service. There is a good thing, and Mary has chosen that good thing, sitting at my feet and hearing my voice. How about you this morning? Are you making choices that build strong relationships? This message is not meant to bring guilt into anybody's heart. I think I'm in a room this morning with people that love family. And I think there are many ways in which all of you demonstrate that. But I'm asking you this morning, are you making the choices that strengthen and build those relationships? Or are you letting activity keep you from building those relationships? Are you placing more emphasis on things that are for time and temporary things, but not eternity? Are you so cumbered about with worldly cares and concerns that the voices of others whom you ought to be hearing, including the voice of your Savior, is drowned out? Are you spending so much time in service with others or service for others that you're not spending the time that you need to hearing the voice of God? I believe the Scripture will equip us to have strong relationships. But strong relationships begin with right choices.